playing Jeopardy.
Yeah, there's
screens.
Mass exodus. They were scared. You know, they're all in traffic. Let's see.
Now, historically, the academic level of education in the South sucks, so don't expect to miss
it. It's like a black hole, a void.
Too many senior citizens in Florida.
Here we go. Samantha's turn. You pass. It was just way too
fast right now.
What's the purpose of an intensifying screen?
Still too early.
What's the purpose of an intensifying screen? Okay, that's what it does, but what does it do? What does a screen do?
Yes, we're not busy.
I know, that's not
a general question, but Cole?
No, it
is. What does a screen do? It takes x-rays and does what with them? I'm pulling it out yet. What does it do to the film? What does the screen do? I know it's there. X-rays hit it, and what happens?
It's like,
do it!
Okay. Man, that was
cool.
Yeah. Conversion of X-rays to light. Okay. Screens convert X-rays to light.
Why didn't he ask him that?
Wow. That one you don't know waiting for you.
All right. Right. We said they convert X-rays to light, okay? Screens. Screens. Who came up with this great idea? Who came up with this great idea? Screens. Phosphors. Who came up with it? Rinkin's buddy Dale?
Oh, Dally.
Dally? There's always a Mikey in the group. Dally was Mikey. Whispers. I thought it was
good.
Thomas Edison. All right. Thomas Edison. And again, the doses were way too high, so they needed something to reduce the patient dose, which Samantha brought up. Okay? So they fooled around with different phosphors, and they saw that these things gave off light after stimulation, X-ray stimulation. Okay? Here we go.
Go ahead, Robert. It's on you.
We talk about luminescence, okay? The stimulation of X-rays into light. There was two subcategories. One's good, one's bad. What were the two?
Phosphorescence is the bad one.
Okay.
That's like the afterglow.
Good.
And then...
Well, or describe it to me. The other thing is what? You said one, there's afterglow.
The fluorescence.
Fluorescence. Okay, fluorescence and phosphorescence. Okay? Fluorescence is good. The screens only give off light during stimulation. Phosphorescence is afterglow. That would fog our film. Okay? So luminescence, giving off light after stimulation. There was fluorescence and there was phosphorescence. Phosphorescence, no. Bad dog. Okay? We don't want that. All right, good. Good morning. All right. Fluorescence, phosphorescence. Two different types of luminescence. Monica. Name me one of the two phosphorescent materials. There was an old one, and then there's new stuff that we use. Just one of them. Can you any one of the phosphorescent materials that we use? Okay, rare earth. Can you expand? I'm going to give you the point, but can you expand what maybe one of the rare earths we had discussed was? Okay. Okay. All right.
Gallium.
Okay. Gallium. All right. Name another one. Another rare earth. Gadolinium. Okay. Yttrium. Gadolinium, yttrium, and lanthanum. Okay? All right. Cool. Yeah, that was another one. That was another one, and there was some other rare earths, but we didn't go into them. Usually, the three that are the most common, gadolinium, lanthanum, and yttrium. So the three rare earths. And she did describe the old calcium tungstate. Okay, with the old. All right. Frederick. Can you tell me what colors the old and the new screens put out?
Okay, calcium tungstate, blue.
Good.
And reference green.
Good. Okay, we get that?
Yeah, from that.
Count, yeah. The wavelengths of light that were given off.
Yeah. Just point to the screen.
Calcium tungstate.
It could be colorblind.
Calcium tungstate. You know, they did. They actually did a PowerPoint presentation with this. I bet I have that on my desk. It's too bad there's a lab. Maybe after the test we can do our experiment on
Friday. Friday before Labor Day.
Wait a minute. That's right. We're testing Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
going to
be early.
We can do it Friday.
Yeah, we can party on.
Party on, guard. You know, I went as a guard when I was a lot thinner. But yeah, the blonde wig, the red tennis shoes, AC/DC t-shirt, I went to a happy place.
Throw sticks into that pocket.
Anyway, here we go. All right. Whose turn? I gave you a point, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What is the screen-based? Oh, that's right. What is a screen-based material?
Polyester.
Oh, that's quick.
Yes.
Polyester is a screen-based material.
Almost put blue.
You're ready for that.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. What was the purpose? What is the purpose of the reflective layer on calcium tungstate screen? The reflective layer. What do you think that would be for?
Oh, can I look on my paper?
It's important thing. What do you got, Scrap? No. No, you just lost your voice. Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
Look at your nose. Okay, reflect. Just think about it. Reflective layer. Reflective. It's like looking in a.
Oh no.
Okay. Pat. Okay. All right. Anna.
Oh. What's a reflective layer purpose?
So that more photons can.
Okay. It redirects the light back towards the film. Calcium, put this in your notes. Calcium tungstate needed it. Rare earth did not, because of their efficiency. Calcium tungstate needed the reflective layer. Again, light is given off isotropically. That means in all different directions. When the X-rays hit the phosphors, light is given off in all different directions. The reflective layer redirects the light towards the film. Okay? Question? Comment? facial expressions, talking loudly, everything cool?
Now it's your chance to
speak. Yeah.
Are you just worried about the next question? Here we go.
Don't be said I can't do that.
I was overreading. Okay.
I'm going to just look. Do you have headlights left?
It's warming. Next. All right. Anticipation. They say these phosphors give off light. Can you explain basically how that happens, like, atomically? You know, can you explain basically how is the light produced? How is the light produced? Have any idea? Why does a toaster filament glow? Why does electric space heater filament glow? It heats up. Okay? What do you think?
Spacing?
Because the outer shells are excited.
That's it. The outer shell electrons are excited. When they go back to their normal state, the light is given off. That filament in the X-ray tube is tungsten. MA heats that up. And it's getting very hot. They use filament. They use tungsten as a filament as well because it has a high melting point. The toaster, when you see the orange glow and the filament inside that thing, the electrons in an excited state goes back to its normal state. It gives off the orange light that you see. Okay? Alright. Okay? Whose turn?
Well, it's
your Sonny. Okay. Okay. What does DQE stand for?
Quantum. Okay.
Detective quantum efficiency. DQE.
Good.
DQE. Okay. What does CE stand for? What does DQE mean?
Absorption.
How well does the phosphor absorb? DQE stands for detective quantum efficiency, but one word definition, how well does it absorb? Okay? What does...
She's opening her book. Just
getting hit on the freeway. You know, I knew I shouldn't have chased that cat on the freeway. Okay. Spectral matching. What do you think that means? Spectral matching.
Where blue screens go with blue light, green.
There you go. Blue emitting light from the screen is matched with blue sensor film. Blue, green. Okay? Spectral matching. Spectral response is what wavelength does it respond to? It's more or less saying the same thing as spectral matching. Okay? Spectral matching. Good. Higher or faster speed of screens we go, okay? What happens to noise?
Increases.
Okay, good. The faster the speed screens we go, the higher the number, the more noise we have. Okay? All right? Okay. Noise. Image noise appears on radiograph, page 223, as a speckled background that occurs most often with fast screens and high KPP. We'll talk about it more in chapter 19. A little paragraph, page 223, third paragraph, you know, under image noise. Image noise appears on a radiograph as a speckled background, most often when fast screens and high KPP techniques are used. Quantum model comes to mind, one word definition of noise. You get this grainy appearance. Basically, quantum model, very few x-rays actually produce the image. We went from a film in a cardboard folder where the image was produced by x-rays. X-rays are very representative of the anatomy, okay? But the doses were way too high. So Edison came up with screens. The image is actually produced by light photons. Whose turn is it next? Back over here. What's the relationship between speed and resolution or detail?
As the speed goes up, the resolution goes down.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. As speed goes up, resolution goes down. Again, think of photography. You want super resolution detail of a flower, something that's not moving, to blow it up in a poster, because when you blow something up, magnify it, it just increases all of the distortion. It increases all of the imperfections, whatever. Okay? If motion is a problem, NASCAR, we would use high speed photography. So we have a quick shutter speed. 800 to 1,000. Okay? Same thing in radiography. Okay? So, it's the same thing with screen speeds. The faster we go, we lose some resolution. Is it still diagnostic? Yes. Or could be. Okay? It is Wild Man's turn.
There we go.
The thicker the phosphor, the blank the speed of the screen. The thicker the phosphor, the blank the screen. Is it faster or slower?
The thicker the phosphor, the slower the speed.
Okay, good guess. I'm going to give it to you. It's quicker. Yeah. Okay? The thicker the phosphor. I'm looking at box 15.3. It's 223. Okay? The thicker the phosphor layer, the higher the DQE, therefore higher speed. Okay? All right? It's converting more x-rays into light. All right.
Does that have to do, when you say thicker of the phosphor, does that have to do with the size of the crystals?
It's just the thickness.
But
yeah.
It's not thicker because the crystals are larger, it's thicker because...
Now, the larger the crystal size, the also increase speed. Yeah, okay. But so box 15.3.
Is that why...
It's different. Yeah, thicker layer versus bigger crystal, they're both increases speed. They convert more x-rays into light. Yeah, okay. How about concentration? If I increase the concentration of crystals, what happens to speed?
It goes up as well.
It's good.
Okay.
All right. Let me give you guys a break. Here we go. Kelly. There was two types of resolution. Can you name one of them? There was two types of resolution that we talked about. Mammography I used as an example.
Oh, single emulsion and double emulsion?
No. There was two types of resolution. Okay? Alright. Two types of resolution. Resolution is being able to see structures clearly, isn't it? What did I just describe? Seeing structures clearly. Okay, spatial resolution. Seeing small structures clearly. Okay, these are important. They'll ask you on the national board. There's two types of resolution. That's on page...
Sorry.
That's on page 224. Okay? 224.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
All right? Spatial resolution. Seeing small structures clearly. All right? When we talk about resolution, there was a unit for resolution that we had discussed. The unit of resolution, do you have any idea? No? Pass it. Okay.
I didn't really get past the first
couple. Okay. There was a unit for spatial resolution. What do you think? The smaller E's you see on the eye chart, the better the eyesight you have. Okay? You can pass if you wish.
No, I don't remember.
Okay? The unit for resolution, people, is line pairs per millimeter.
Oh.
We're going to use this same terminology again when we go into fluoroscopy, chapter 24. The more line pairs per millimeter you have, the better the resolution. Okay? Who are we missing? This is
Ricardo.
Ricardo and...
Mikey.
Does that make sense? The more line pairs per millimeter, the smaller the structures you see. The more the small E's you see on an eye chart, the better your eyesight. Okay? So if I can only see the big E fuzzy, I'm pretty blind. I'm pretty nearsighted. I put these on, I can see. Okay. Line pairs per millimeter. Whose turn? All right. We discussed spatial resolution. There was one other type of resolution. What was it? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
Contrast resolution, you're correct. Mammography, again, I used as a primary example. Contrast resolution. Spatial resolution is we see small structures clearly, but contrast resolution is what? Just read it to
it. The ability to image similar tissues.
Okay, the ability to image differences between similar tissues. And these two are important. National board questions I'm going to ask you. Seeing differences between similar tissues. When you talk about breast tissue, it is so similar. It's not like bone and soft tissue. Breast tissue is totally the same mass density, atomic number, basically. And you have to maximize contrast to differentiate between normal and abnormal. A person's life may depend on it. Okay? So again, all right? We try to get the best resolution we can. Okay. All right. Contrast resolution. Spatial resolution. Okay. All right. Whose turn?
I pass.
Oh, you passed. You already passed. So Roy. IF. What the heck is the IF stand for? Right. Dislocation factor. Very cool. You want to try to explain it to me? I'll give you the point. You already got it. IF. I have no clue what that is. You told me it's dislocation factor. What is it? Can you explain it to me?
We get another point if we get it right.
It's a double question.
Yeah.
Double. Okay. Okay, they're kind of a formula. They related exposure. Can you expand on that? There's a little formula. Intensification factor deals with screens, right? The exposure of light to exposure is fast. Intensification factor is the amount of exposure without a screen, which would be much higher, to the exposure with the screen. Okay? So anytime you use a screen, you're going to have some kind of intensification factor.
Are you
going to
have one more time that we have to figure out?
Good job, Sonny.
I'm just asking.
Thanks.
No,
what did
you
say? I would have to give you the values. Not so much intensification factor as to do how would you compensate in mass going from a 200 speed screen to a 400. Okay? Let's reteach common sense here. Okay? Calcium tungstate, for all practical purposes, I know in the book it says 100, but let's say it has a value of 200. Okay? These are just relative numbers I'm pulling out of the air. Don't get black and white on me. Stay gray. Okay? You with me for a minute? You understand what I'm saying there? Keep your minds open. Calcium tungstate was a value of 200. Rare earth, 400. Okay? Calcium tungstate, giving you a value of 200. Rare earth. And this is in actuality, in reality, what happened. Overall relative speed of this. Is this not in a ratio of that?
Yes.
1 to 2? 200 is to 400 as 100 is to 2. Is it not twice as fast?
Yes.
400 is twice 200. You with me? So what can we do to patient dose?
Cut it in half.
We could cut it in half. Since rare earth is twice as fast, this is relationship. Compensation is we can one half our mass. Therefore, we reduce the patient dose to the general public in half. That's the common sense of nutrition. These numbers, again, are just ratios. 1 is to 2, 100 is to 200, 200 is to 400. It's like, how much more is it? If I borrow $200 from you and you want 100% return, how much am I going to pay you back? I loaned you $200. I expect 100% return. You're going to pay me back $400. Okay?
I think that's against the law.
It is. That's loan shark. Or we break your legs.
At least you're not an x-ray.
Scary. It happens all the time. Next. Whose turn?
Yeah,
those things, they're trying to shut down legislature. These payday loan places. They're everywhere now. Here we go. Yeah. Who's turn?
Sam.
You
go. Okay.
Yeah. So okay, Sam. Here we go. Film that is green sensitive is called. What's another name for that? Review question. There you go. Orthochromatic. Green sensitive film, orthochromatic. Okay. All right. Please ask questions if you got them, as I'm going through this mayhem. It's almost break time. Okay? Who's turn? Monica. Question. kind of material would you want on the front of a cassette? What kind of material would you want on the film holder of the cassette? What material would you want on the front of it? Okay, very good. Okay, radiolucent front. Usually it's carbon fiber. Something that x-rays go through relatively easily. She said, she mentioned that the back layer, higher atomic number, something that's going to absorb to prevent X what?
Scatter.
Okay. Okay. Low atomic number, radiolucent. The front material, carbon fiber, something that's radiolucent. The back material, radioopaque, something with higher atomic number to prevent backscatter. Okay? All right. Whose turn? Why do we need a compression device, the felt, in a cassette? Why do we need that?
Good contact to the felt.
Okay. What contact? What needs to be contacted?
It's extreme.
Good. Why? I'll give you the point.
We don't have good screen contact. You're going to come up with different contrasts.
Okay. Why do you have that felt that acts like a compression device in the cassette? And this is on page 227, left column. Between each screen and the cassette cover is some sort of compression device, such as felt or rubber, which maintains close screen film contact when the cassette is closed and latched.
I'm sorry, that page again?
Page 227, left column. The felt acts as a compression device to keep the screens right against the film. The purpose is to have good screen film contact. Because if you don't, look on page 233. Wherever, this is the National Board's question too, wherever you have poor film screen contact, look at figure 15-19B. You will have an increased optical density. Wherever you have poor film screen contact, okay, look on page 233, it gives you a visual. 233, on B. See that increased optical density area? No, you were right, 227, they talked about compression device. 233, they show a picture of it, what I'm talking about, okay, on B, it's right here. You will have increased optical density in the area of poor film screen contact. Let's take a break and I'll draw a little picture of that and we'll proceed. A fine wire mesh, if you look at it, messing around. And you put that on the cassette, use a hand technique. And again, like they show on page 233, the areas of poor film screen contact, you have increased optical density. And the reasoning behind that, again, in the picture, is film, say you have an air bubble in the screen, x-rays hit the phosphor, the light is emitted isotropically in all different directions, it concentrates, so in this area of the film, you have increased optical density. Wherever you have a poor film screen contact, you have increased optical density. So if we look at this, now this could be fog. This looks really foggy, but also increased image blur. You have increased optical density here, plus you don't see the wire mesh. This is all blurred out, fuzzed out.
Okay? Anyway, that was just taken like really high.
Maybe the one on the right. No, I thought it was so high, you just get flat. Yeah,
I thought it would just be a folder. Why is it so blurred out?
Well, probably because increased distance here too. And you have the wire mesh up here. So it's fuzzed out. Not only is it increased optical density, but it diffuses it, more shape distortion. Okay? So again, here is an indicator of poor downstream contact.
See how it all showed up as artifacts in the film?
You have this increased optical density area over the poor downstream. And in MR, everything's critical. This is where it came up. When we talked about spatial resolution, microcalcifications, when we talked about contrast resolution, again, the MR case for an example. Yeah, Jim.
So did you just take a picture of
that? Of that, okay. On top of the set. Yeah, and then they tried, and then they produced, on this one, they produced four film screen contact.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that's what that felt for. Get another screen, get another cassette. Yeah, replace how it felt. Huh?
Is the cassette no good after that?
Unless it's repaired or replaced inside, usually it's just easier just to know the cassette.
Is it usually from like wear and tear?
Yeah. People beating it. Yeah, you start, as you pull film out of the cassettes, you can pull on the screens and you pull some of the felt loose.
Oh.
You know, just rough handling. Okay. Let's see here. We talked about luminescence, fluorescence, phosphorescence, IF. Okay. When loading cassettes, do not slide the film in a sharp corner. The edge can scratch the screen. Place the film in a cassette. Blah, blah, blah. We use anti-static solutions to clean the screens. Do screens wear out due to radiation fatigue?
No.
No, they do not. Okay. They need to be cleaned periodically. I opened some of our cassettes, and it looked like something had been spilled inside, you know, like stains. That's going to prevent the light from hitting the film. So they need to be cleaned periodically. Any hair or talc from gloves, most gloves are talc-free these days with people's allergies and things. But that can leave artifacts in the screen that will also prevent the light from hitting the film, produce some artifacts. Whose turn? Where do we leave off? Your turn? How much more efficient is rare earth DQE than calcium tungsten? Okay, good try. Well, here, how much more DQE is rare earth than calcium tungsten? How much better is absorption wise than rare earth than calcium tungsten?
Okay,
right. Okay, it's 5 times. Okay? The DQE is 5 times more. Okay? 5 times more.
Oh, what did you say here? Let me fill this in.
Oh,
oh,
it's
fine.
Yeah, okay? 5 times. Anna.
Well.
How much more conversion efficiency is rare earth better than? Okay, calcium tungsten. Rare earth is, it's 5 times more absorption, DQE, okay? It's 4 times better in conversion efficiency.
And it's twice as fast.
Generally speaking, that's just in the real world, yeah.
In the diagnostic, right?
In the diag... yeah. For all practical purposes, yes. Now, everybody understands there's a range, calcium tungstate, there's a range for rare earth.
Yeah.
They showed rare earths going close to 1,200. Okay? Again, these are just relative numbers. You have to be given these numbers to do some kind of problem. All right. Whose turn? Barbara. what really kind of determines, can you explain to me, what determines absorption properties of a phosphor? Nothing. Why do things absorb, first of all? Why do things absorb that strain? Can you give me some ideas? I'm leaving out to some things here. Have any idea? Why did they pick calcium tungstate as a phosphor material as to absorption? What do you think about the atom of tungsten? Okay, high atomic number. What do you think about K-shell? I'll give you the point, but high atomic number, what do you think about K-shell, K-binding energy for tungsten? You think it's high? You think it's low? It's high. Okay, tungsten has an atomic number 74. Its binding energy right around 69-70. Okay. Calcium tungstate. It's tungstate that gives calcium tungstate its absorption properties. Okay. Alright. So, keeping that in mind, K-absorption etch. Why does rare earth absorb 5 times more than calcium tungstate? We talked about this K-absorption etch last lecture. Only between blank and blank, rare earth absorb 5 times more. Can you elaborate on that? The K-absorption etch. We know rare earth atomic numbers are lower. We know their K-shell binding energies are lower. But the K-absorption edge, quote-unquote, was between this range.
Yes, between 35 and 70.
Okay, between 35 and 70, rare earth absorbs more. Below 35, calcium tungstate absorbs more. Above 70, calcium tungstate. 35 to 70. Alright, this is the K-absorption edge. I'm looking at page 229, figure
15-12.
Figure 15-12. Yeah, it's between 35 and 70, and that's on listed on page 230.
I thought you had us write down 75.
No. No.
35 to 70. Okay. This K-absorption edge. Alright, the K-absorption edge. If you were to see that drawing, figure 15-12, you would say, and you would list, between 35 and 70, rare earth absorbed 5 times as much. Below 35, calcium tungstate absorbs more. Above 70, and that's enough. We don't need to go any more in depth on that. But that's this K-absorption edge. They take gadolinium, lanthanum, and yttrium and do an average of their K-shell binding energies. If you look at the table on page 229, gadolinium is 50 K-shell binding energy, lanthanum is 39, yttrium is 17. You take those three, add them together, and take the average, it's right around 39. Okay? And that's how they come up with some of these statistical things. Again, looking at page 230, 231, you can see calcium tungstate is a very smooth bell curve. The blue, page 230, calcium tungstate puts off the blue light wavelengths in a very smooth predictable, where gadolinium, lanthanum, and yttrium, respectively, those three spikes, they add a little terbium, and that's what really makes it efficient at those certain wavelengths, which is normally green.
Terbium
activated is just another chemical atom. Terbium is an element. Okay? It's an individual element.
Question?
Yeah, terbium activated, it just really.
So basically for K absorption edge, you just want this rare earth absorbed more between 35.
Yes. Yes, that's all. That's all. Between 35 and 70, rare earth absorbs 5 times more. Okay, this is the K-absorption edge. And then they convert 4 times more. not only do I want to get you in the door, but I want to convert you. Okay? Sort of thing. You need both. All right. Screens. I think we've beat it up pretty good. Page 226, let's look at box 15.4. Advantages of proper screen film use, page 226. Okay. It says increased. Advantages of proper screen film use. Increased flexibility of KPP selection. Adjustment of radiographic contrast. Spatial resolution when using small focal spots. Capacity for magnification radiography. Fine. Decreased patient dose, occupational exposure, X-ray 2 heat production. Decreased X-ray exposure time, X-ray 2 MA focal spot selection. By using faster screens, we can use less dose, therefore easier on the tube. Yeah. Just like having that fifth gear in your sports car. Flat surface, freeway, driving, put it in that overdrive. Your motor has to rev less. Makes sense? All right. What's the difference between direct and screen film, or direct exposure versus direct, I guess, or screen? What was direct exposure?
That's right.
That's x-rays. The image is produced by x-rays. There were no screens. It took a lot more dose, but the resolution was fine. That's direct exposure. We don't do it anymore. You got it right. It's kind of bad when the risk outweighs the benefits. You know? They talked about radio protectors later on in radiation biology. Radiation protectors, radiation sensitizers. It's just the thinking of sunbathing, you know, the 60s, 70s. Baby oil. I remember sister used baby oil. Yeah. Just go out there and get fried. Copper dump. And today it's 180 degrees. Use things to protect you. Okay. So. UVA, UVB. Screens. On a model. We talked about three things. We're going to talk about probably more in depth later, but film graininess was the silver halide crystal seam film. The structure model tends to talk about screens, relates to screens, and quantum model is, again, emphasizing this on page 223, as I listed in this chapter, is that very few x-rays actually produce the image. Okay. Quantum model is noise. We use high KPP or increased screen speed, we have increased noise. Quantum model. Quantum model is a speckled appearance, it's grainy appearance on the film. For every one x-ray that hits that phosphor, thousands of light photons are given off. And that's why a radiograph never is sharp, crisp, and clear as a photograph. Okay, put it aside now.
Is there more than one dye that's used?
From one manufacturer to another, it's possible.
Well, no,
most of the time, it's a blue dye.
Well, what I ask is, it says that the intensifying screens incorporate special dyes in the phosphor layer to selectively absorb those light photons emitted at large angle. But it says it increases image blur. But if you go back down here to this box on 15.3, it says the dye improves spatial resolution. Doesn't that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that contradicts that first statement's incorrect. In the
book. Okay.
It would decrease image blur. That's why they put it in there. Does it slow it down a little bit? Yes. Would it decrease image blur, not increase?
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a misprint. The box is correct in the paragraph.
Okay.
Okay. That's what's frustrating. I just gave a test in physics over radiation biology and things, and in the workbook there were some mistakes the students caught. You know, we were talking about some things. And it threw them off on the test. Sometimes, if it doesn't correlate, or makes sense to you, maybe there's a misprint. Bring it to my attention.
Well, that's what I thought. Maybe they just used two different eyes.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. I'm looking at the very first page of chapter 15. Screen construction, projective coating, phosphor, reflective layer phase we've talked about. Luminescence, we talked about fluorescence and phosphorescence. Screen characteristics, speed, noise, spatial resolution, we talked about those. Screen film combinations, cassette, its makeup. Carbon fiber material on the front, of course. Direct film exposure versus screen film, we did. Bearer and carrot screens. Again, you clean it with an anti-static solution. They also say phosphorus should not be affected by heat, humidity, or other environmental conditions. Normally, we take films in an environmentally controlled atmosphere. It's cool. If you were out there 100-degree weather, it would probably give off less light because all the phosphors already are in some kind of somewhat excited state. You would probably fog your film, okay? We don't take x-rays in 100-degree weather. Because the heat itself would probably fog it up. Here's one for you, scientifically. What's the difference between fluorescence and phosphorescence? Anyone? What's the difference scientifically between phosphorescence and fluorescence?
Isn't that where the fluorescence occurs?
There you go. If it's more than one revolution, the electron is excited, one revolution, if it's more than one revolution before it goes back to its stable state, and that's 1 nanosecond, okay, on page 221, or 10 nanoseconds, they say, 10 nanoseconds. If the electron returns to its normal state with the emission of light within one revolution following stimulation, then fluorescence has occurred. If more than one revolution is required, then phosphorescence has occurred. Now again, this is splitting hairs. Okay. The time required for an electron to make one revolution around the nucleus is 10 nanoseconds. That's one heck of a stopwatch. Okay. It's wild when you see drag car racers, you know, they won by a thousandth of a second. Or their reaction times. Wow. On the science kind of wish we were in a semester. Field trip. About three quarters of the way through, you're so burnout, you know, you already are, but I mean, you're really burnout by that. It's good. But they have this thing. They have all kinds of medical related, and I think it's worth the time. They have a whole section of the brain and PET scans and MRIs and functional CT, MRI, ultrasound, blah, blah, blah. And they have this one section on reflexes. You hold your hand out, it's like a yardstick, and it's suspended electromagnet. Okay? And you have your hand here, and all of a sudden it releases, and you try to grab it to see how quickly your reflexes are. There's all kinds of little experimentation things. Arizona Science Center. It's 7th Street and Washington. Yeah. So we'll go there as a field trip. We take a morning, go there, and then have lunch afterwards. It's just like,
right.
You know, I did that once and only once, and it was like $200 later. It's like, ah, it's out of my pocket. So, yeah, I did it once.
Right.
I know. I wish I could write it off. But they have a lot of good science experiments and things, and they change every 6 months. Okay. Let me look over the tests and make sure that we've covered. I know we're way early here, so I'm going to do some math problems.